Open your Bibles to the reading we just finished in the second book of Chronicles in chapter 21. I want to give Gerald my compliments for reading that passage so well. That's not a passage that you normally see as a reading to begin a lesson, and I'm determined one of these days I'm going to be officiating at a wedding. And I'm somehow going to sneak that in just to see if anybody's listening to that part. This is a very interesting, Jehoram is the man who is described here. And he is a man that is described as being so awful that God curses him with a disease of the bowels. And over a period of 2 years, his bowels eventually came out and he died. And that sounds pretty tough, but what I think is very interesting in verse 20, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 20, he was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he departed with no one's regret. He departed and left such a legacy that nobody was sad to see him go. Now, I find that very interesting. Usually when someone passes away, we at least do something to try to remember the good things about them. Even folks that were not necessarily the greatest people, we try to at least find some good things to say about them, and we try to think of something that are happy memories of something to give them some redeeming quality. But Jehoram, I couldn't really find anything about him, so it just says that nobody was sad that he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. He didn't even make it there. And his son, Ahaziah, becomes king in his place in chapter 22. And I just gave you that reading to kind of introduce the world into which the man that we're going to talk about this evening is born. And what I find interesting about him is he's not a king, although he serves very close to a king in his life. Is very carefully or very closely intertwined with who is king. But this man that I want to talk about this evening is somebody who you probably haven't put a whole lot of thought into. If I told you to tell me the story of Jehoiada the priest, who here is ready to tell me exactly who he was and what he did? Yeah, me neither. Except for having prepared for this lesson. I find Jehoiada the priest is introduced to us here, and he plays a very small or a very short but very critical role in the history of God's people. And we are introduced to him very shortly. But bottom line is Ahaziah is this king. He follows Jehoram, and he decides to go and go to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was wounded, verse 6. And so he goes to be with his uncle, if you will, Ahab. Now the northern kingdom still exists. Ahab and his lovely bride Jezebel are running the show. And God's judgment comes upon them while Ahaziah, who is their son, nephew, I believe, he goes in there and he finds himself caught up in it and he is killed. There, the king of Judah, killed with the king of Israel. And he has this mother, in verse 10. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 10. He has a mother, most people do. And her name is Adaliah. The mother of Ahaziah saw that her son was dead. She arose and destroyed the royal family of the house of Judah. So this is a woman who, seeing a power vacuum, if you will, her own son has been killed in battle. And she rises up and she sees a power vacuum. And so in order to wrest the control of the nation of Judah from its rightful ruler or leader, she has the royal family of the house destroyed. She has her children, her grandchildren, killed. Now, I'm going to take a stab here and say she's probably not going to get much for Mother's Day. What an evil, wicked woman. We'll talk about her a little bit more in just a little bit. But then there is this woman, this other woman. In verse 11, Jehoshabeth, a daughter of the king. So she is a daughter of the king. She's not in line to be of the lineage, and so she's not a threat. And so this lovely Adaliah, this lovely grandmother, she misses her. And this Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, she took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were about to be put to death. And she put him and his nurse in a bedroom. Thus Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king Jehoram, and his wife of Jehoiada the priest, because she was a sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Adaliah. So she did not put him to death. And he remained with them 6 years, hidden in the house of God, while Adaliah reigned over the land. Now, I think this is very interesting. So this woman, she sees her little brother, if you will, who is the rightful heir to the king, and he's just a little baby, and so he has no way to defend himself, but she puts herself at risk from this vengeful woman, and she hides the child. And so she hides him for 6 years. Now, what's interesting is, of course, is that she is the wife of Jehoiada the priest, verse 11. Her husband is a priest. She's a princess, if you will, in the house of Judah. And so she hides the child, takes the child, and the child lives in the house of God with the high priest, or with the priest who is Jehoiada, for 6 years. And then in the seventh year, Jehoiada, in verse chapter 23 and verse 1, Jehoiada took courage and entered into a covenant with the commanders of hundreds, Azariah the son of Joram, Ishmael the son of Jehonan, and so on and so forth. And essentially, verse 3, all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God, and Jehoiada said to them, "Behold the king's son, let him reign as the Lord spoke concerning the sons of David." And so he gathers these people together and he begins this plan to remove this wicked woman from her rule. And so he goes about and he makes friends, if you will, and he uses his position of influence essentially to stage a coup against an illegitimate leader. And then in verse 8, he executes his plan. The Levites, this is chapter 20, 2 Chronicles 23 and verse 8, the Levites and all Judah did according to all that Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and they each brought his men who were off duty to go off duty on the Sabbath with those who were to come on duty on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest did not dismiss the divisions. And Jehoiada the priest gave the captain spears and large and small shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And he set all the people a guard for the king, every man with his weapon in his hand, from the south side of the house to the north side of the house, around the altar and his house. And they brought out the king's son and put the crown on him and gave him the testimony. They proclaimed him king, and Jehoiada and his sons anointed him, and they said, "Long live the king." We'll talk about it in a little bit, but this is a pretty ambitious thing to do. You see, staging a coup in the ancient world, not unlike probably today even, is putting yourself at tremendous risk, because if it doesn't work, if for some reason something interrupts it, there's a pretty good chance that the one who the coup is staged to overthrow will retaliate with great brutality. And you can only imagine the great brutality of a woman who would slaughter her own grandchildren against someone who usurped her authority. And remember, she'd been there for 6 years. She'd been in charge, entrenching herself in a position of authority. So, of course, verse 12, Adaliah, this woman, this lovely grandmother, heard the noise of the people running and praising the king. She went into the house of the Lord and the people. And when she looked, there was the king standing by the pillar at the entrance, and the captains and the trumpeters beside the king, and all the people of the land rejoicing and blowing trumpets, and the singers and their musical instruments leading in the celebration. And Adaliah tore her clothes and cried, "Treason, treason!" I find that ironic. That was Ryan's commentary, by the way. Then Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains who were set over the army, saying to them, now this is a critical moment. Here is Jehoiada pulling the trigger. Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains who were set over the army, saying to them, "Bring her out between the ranks And anyone who follows her is to be put to death with the sword. For the priest said, do not put her to death in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her, and she went into the entrance of the horse gate of the king's house, and they put her to death there. Let's skip down to verse 21. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after Athaliah had been put to death with the sword. It seems as though she faced a similar fate. It didn't seem like anybody was terribly upset that this woman had been overthrown, put to death. And so there is this coup, and Jehoiada then has this young son, this young man who is now the king. He is responsible for doing this. And Joash, in chapter 24, Joash is the young boy. He is 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada got for him 2 wives, and he had sons and daughters. And Joash decided to restore the house of God. He gathered the priests and Levites and said to them, go out in the cities of Judah and gather from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you act quickly. And the Levites didn't do it, and so he summons Jehoiada, and he says, Jehoiada, essentially, I'm paraphrasing a little bit for the sake of time, Jehoiada, you get to work, and you make sure that this work is done. And of course, he does exactly that. And he served all the years of the remainder of his life. And then we get to verse 14. Verse 14. And when they had finished, this is restoring the temple, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, and with it were made utensils for the house of the Lord, both for the service and for burnt offerings, and dishes for incense, and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord regularly all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada grew old and full of days and died. He was 130 years old at his death, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel toward God in his house. This man wasn't a king. There was great lamentation over his death. They paid homage to him by putting him and burying him with the kings. So this is the life of Jehoiada, and I want to notice a few things about this man and what makes him so impressive to me. We live in a time where we look, and I guess we've always lived in a time, where we look to certain people and we see certain character traits in them. We see certain stories of heroism. We see certain stories of integrity that they show. And these stories or these accounts of their heroism are encouraging to us, because if he could do it, I could do it too. If it's impressive to me, it hopefully inspires me to, in a difficult situation, do something similar to what Jehoiada did. We often think of Daniel in the lion's den. We think of young David going to slay Goliath. We think of all these different circumstances. We teach our kids, but I think we've maybe missed Jehoiada. We may have forgotten him. I don't remember reading the kids any pop-up books or anything when they were kids. Here's Jehoiada the priest. I don't know what actually would have looked like. I guess the slaying of this usurping woman. But anyway. But I think it's very inspirational to us, and I hope it gives you a little bit of inspiration in your life, wherever you are and whatever you are doing. Let's talk about some of the things that we see in the example of Jehoiada. First thing that we notice about Jehoiada, and the first time we're really introduced to him, is we see Jehoshabeth. Now, I don't know much about her. We don't see much written about her. But to me, it's very obvious, or it's fairly obvious, that she was a pretty good lady. And I have no doubt that Jehoiada was part of that, leading a good home and a woman who was willing to take that kind of risk. And not only that, but she takes a great risk and brings that child home. And it would have been very easy for Jehoiada to simply say, no, that kid's kryptonite, take him out of here. But he doesn't. To start with, he's surrounded himself with a good woman and other good people. You notice that Jehoiada, he immediately begins to curry favor with the children of Israel and build the relationships with others that are in the priesthood and the captains and things like that. And he uses his position of influence. He uses his position to curry the favor of the people around him because he knows it's going to be useful in one day. We notice that he surrounds himself with good people, including particularly his wife. How many times do we see young people make bad choices about the friends that they make? You know, one of the recurring themes that I've seen as I talk to men who are in prison, and we talk about them maybe getting out and what they're going to do, and I've had several of them that have left and gone out back into the free world. And one of the recurring themes that I see is that they often talk about when they started getting into trouble and their life started going poorly. You know what a common thread is? Number one, very few of them had a father in their lives. But number two, they say, well, I fell in with the wrong crowd. And as they go out into the free world, as they call it, one of the things that they say is that it's very critical for them not to fall back in to the same crowd that they left. Some are successful with that, others are not, and they return. But the people that we choose to spend our time with, and the people we choose to spend our lives with, play a great role in determining what kind of lives we have. Jehoiada chose wisely. Now, whether that was a matter of blind luck, it was an arranged marriage, I don't know. But it seems as though the two made a great pair. I think that's something worth mentioning. So maybe I'll sneak that in when I'm talking about it the next time I'm preaching at a wedding. And then we'll talk about the guy dying from the disease of the bowels. But notice here that he's courageous. He's courageous. Not only is his wife, but he is. You see, not only does he hide this boy for 6 years. Now I want you to imagine for just a minute hiding someone who, if this treacherous woman found out about, would no doubt have you killed and everybody else in your family. She'd kill her own grandkids, y'all. You think she's got a problem killing you? Mm-mm. You meddling priest. And yet he does this for 6 years. When I was a younger person, I read The Diary of Anne Frank. It's a very interesting piece of literature. But it talks of the story of the Frank family being hidden for a few months and maybe a couple of years, I believe it was. And the constant stress and the struggle of being under that situation. Ultimately, they were betrayed and they were taken to Auschwitz. But he does it for six years, raises this boy. Now keep in mind that he is the priest of God. He's not some just random villager that lives out on a farm somewhere. He's going to be coming and going in Jerusalem. He's going to be a public figure, if you will. And he has this secret, this boy, the rightful heir to the throne that he keeps. But not only that, he very easily could have just said, you know what, the kid is 6 or 7 years old. I'm just going to hang on to him. We're going to keep him quiet. And then when he's a full-grown man, then we'll let him handle this whole rightful heir to the throne business. No. As soon as the boy is in his seventh year, he says, okay, it's time to stage a coup. To me, that's a very impressive thing. That shows a tremendous amount of courage. But I want to notice, if you would, why he is so courageous. And we see that in chapter 23 and verse 3. All the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And Jehoiada said to them, behold, the king's son, let him reign as the Lord spoke concerning the sons of David. You see, Jehoiada wasn't doing this to get himself into some greater position. He wasn't doing this to help him. He was putting himself at a great and tremendous risk to do it, and it was strictly because he saw that that's what God had said was supposed to happen. This young man is a descendant of the throne of David. He is supposed to be the one who's doing this, not this woman. He's simply trying to do that, and we notice that he, of course, is courageous to defeat a pretty brutal and wicked woman. Now, why he did it exactly at that time, I don't know. There's probably some more detail there. But we see that he steps up and does it. So if we're going to learn something from it, if we're going to imitate his character, think of the ways in which we can be courageous in doing good. You see, sometimes it's very easy for us to be outspoken and courageous when we feel like, that's going to benefit me. But when it's just at risk to me, but it's just the right thing to do, well, that's a whole different story. But Jehoiada didn't care. Jehoiada didn't let that control him. He didn't let it drive his behavior. He was courageous in doing good, even when it wasn't easy, even when it was likely to cost him his own life, even when it was to cost him, no doubt, would have cost him the life of his wife and this boy that he's raised for 6 years. Be courageous in doing good. But I also want to notice that he uses his position for the benefit of the kingdom. Jehoiada is a priest. Now, he is a priest, no doubt, in a time in which the worship of Jehovah is spotty at best. Idolatry is the name of the game. It's what's going on and things like that. And yet, he uses his position not to his own benefit. You see, there are those who, when someone new comes to power, will immediately try to wiggle their way and curry favor and become a partner, if you will, to those that are in power. He doesn't do that. Instead, he uses his position and having the contacts with the faithful men of Israel that still remain, the priests, the men of Judah, the Levites specifically, he gathers them together and he says, okay, we're going to do this. Jehoiada leveraged the position that he had. It would have been very easy for him to simply say, hey, I'm just the priest. Nobody's even worshiping Jehovah at this time. I'm going to do the best I can do with what I got over here, and that's fine, and y'all just do your thing, and I'm going to stay over here. Likewise, he could have said, hey, I'm the priest. I've got all these friends. I can maybe stage this coup, and maybe I can be in charge. Huh, how about that? Instead, he takes this little boy, because he's the rightful owner of the throne. He's the rightful heir to the throne. He uses his position to the benefit of God and the kingdom, not himself. So what about us? Do we use our position in life, whatever it may be, for the benefit of the kingdom or just for ourselves? You see, we come in contact with different people all the time, every day. We have opportunities to serve and to do good every day. Do we only do good to serve ourselves? Do we only do good when it helps us, when it does something good for us? Notice how important this concept is as Jesus describes in the book of Matthew, the judgment day. And he says that I'm paraphrasing for the sake of time, a lot of people are going to show up and say, Lord, when did we see you, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or in need of something? And he's going to say, well, you know these people that you came in contact with all through your life? Yeah. Well, that's me. You see, doing good and using our position for whatever benefit we can for ourselves, not necessarily a bad thing. We use it. We use contacts. We use relationships. We use those things to get ahead in life and to get our way through life. But Jehoiada leveraged his position as a man that was no doubt respected and a man that had an opportunity to make relationships for the benefit of the kingdom. What about us? Are we leveraging our position for the benefit of our kingdom? Well, and so he finds himself in this situation. Joash becomes king. He's only 7 years old. And again, Joash, we're not talking so much about him, but he decides at some point to restore, chapter 24 and verse 4, he did to restore the house of the Lord. He's a good man, Joash, this boy is. And so he decides, well, you know what? He sees it's not going well, and he says, you know what I'm going to do, Jehoiada? You get to work, buddy. You make it happen. And Jehoiada does exactly that. Jehoiada uses his position of influence again. He uses this relationship he has with the king, and he makes it happen. Worship is restored according to God's pattern, according to what was supposed to be going on, but wasn't, because of the wicked leaders of Judah. And so he does this. He starts some of it on his own, of course, and then as the king continues with his restoration movement, Jehoiada is the man, the point man, the guy who can make it happen. And lo and behold, he does it all through his time. So when we talk about restoring the worship, we talk about getting rid of the sinful things, breaking down, if you will, the altars in our own lives. Maybe Jehoiada is a good example for us. It was important to him that worship was restored. It was important to him that God's will and God's expectations be met. And he, at great personal cost and great personal effort, made sure that it happened. And so, for us, maybe we spend a little more time, a little more of our personal effort in worshiping God according to the pattern that he's laid down, leaving the sinful practices behind in our own lives. And not only that, but I don't know about you, he grows old and full of days, and he was 130 years old. Notice for just a minute, chapter 24, verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother name was Ziba of Beersheba, and Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now, I don't know about you, but a man who's 130 years old, who still has enough influence and still has enough strength to influence a king to do what is right, is an impressive thing. Jehoiada wasn't in it for the quick and easy effort. He wasn't there to simply show up one day, do something great, and find his name in the annals of history. I think about Samson when I think about that. You know, Samson, for all the great capability that he had, Samson really didn't do much for very long. He was a great man, but his problem was that he couldn't stick with it. He let Delilah and the desire for her and his own pride get in the way. Jehoiada didn't. You see, not only did he hide his own death ticket, if you will, his own death warrant for 6 years, stage a coup, but even after that, he stayed on and he helped this young king. He never usurped his position as the priest. He never tried to become the king himself. But for all of these years, he helped this good man, Joash, reign. And he did that for so many years, and of course, we find out that Joash, Joash falls away. He becomes wicked and treacherous after the death of Jehoiada. But I don't think that in any way besmirches the effort that Jehoiada had. So what about us? Are we like Jesus describing in the parable of the sowers, the seed that's sown on the rocky ground, sprouts up for a little bit, but has no root? Or the seed that sprouted on the around the thorns and the thistles, and it springs up and it does well for a while, but eventually it's choked out? Are we like Jehoiada? You see, it wasn't an easy thing for him to do, but he stuck with it through good and through evil. So I leave with you the story of Jehoiada and some questions. Are you choosing good wife, a good spouse, for those who aren't married? If you're already married, too late. If you got a bad one, you're stuck. Sorry. Good wives, husbands, friends, acquaintances. Are you courageous in doing good? Do you use your position for the benefit of the kingdom, not just yourself? Do you pay attention to your worship and what is actually right in the eyes of God, even if it's not necessarily popular? And are you doing that day in and day out? Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And we'll close our time here together. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. There is a long description of those who have gone on before us. And those who had been mistreated and destitute, and their faith was tested. And in verse 39, Hebrews 11 and verse 39, the Hebrew writer says this: "All these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God has provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect." You see, we can follow in the footsteps of Jehoiada. If I go to the judgment and you go to the judgment, and we stand before God, and He looks at us and He goes, "You know what? You took risk. You put yourself at risk when it was needed. You served faithfully for a long time when you had opportunity. You used the blessings that I blessed you with, the relationships that I blessed you with, to the benefit of the kingdom. You know, you were careful with what I told you to do. You treated rightly the words that I gave you to follow." I don't know about you, but if that's the feedback I get on the day of judgment, I'm okay with that. That works for me. The Hebrew writer continues in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Jehoiada the priest lived 130 years. That's a long time, but in the scale of eternity, it's nothing. It's just a few days. Jehoiada the priest saw beyond just his own life to do what was right. So the next time that we are tempted to do what is wrong, or we are discouraged in doing what is right, or when we are downtrodden because we feel like it's not working fast enough or well enough to be doing the will of God that we know we're to be doing, I hope you'll remember Jehoiada the priest. You'll be one of the few that do, because he gets skipped over. But now you know something special. Now you know the story of a good man chosen by God to be in the right place at the right time. If there's anything that we can do as a congregation of God's people, the good news is you can be just like Jehoiada today. You can leverage the relationships of the people that you have here to your benefit. That's why we're here. We're not going to go get guns and stuff like that and help protect you from something and set you up as king. Although, that'd be kind of interesting to try. But what we can do is we can listen to whatever your need is and whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing, that you know you're supposed to be doing, and we can help you. And we will help you whatever way that we can, if you'll let your need be known as we stand and as we sing.